If what I am about to ask you next feels like an unusual way to start a sermon, bear with me. Here's the question. Can anyone answer? What's the difference between a million and a billion, apart from the first letter of each of the two words? What's the difference between a million and a billion? Oh, Steve.
Three zeros.
Three zeros. Okay. Three zeros. Let me give you a way to appreciate the scale of the difference between 1 million and 1 billion. A million seconds lasts 11 days. A billion seconds lasts 32 years. Big difference. Politicians who are trying to big up their policies sometimes play on our lack of appreciation of the scale of the difference between millions and billions, expecting a figure like 700 million of pounds of public investment to sound impressive, when it's not much more than £10 for every person in the country. Some global business mega-billionaires like the media to fanfare how much they have given away to charity in telephone number long figures, sounding incredibly generous until you do the maths and realise that as a proportion of what they actually have, it's no different from what might be given by a person who has the average UK household wealth. Today is the last of our short four-sermon series on giving and generosity. We've looked at greed and the dangers of money, giving to God, and generosity as themes, based on chosen Bible readings. Today, the theme is giving according to what we have, referring specifically to giving money, with which our two Bible readings this morning are concerned. I started with numbers this morning because one of the questions often asked when we are thinking about giving money is, how much should I give? We ask it at the level of how much to give towards our second cousin's forthcoming wedding present, how much to give to the earthquake appeal, how much to give to the man standing on our doorstep from a national charity, or put into the rattling tin outside the supermarket. These are the everyday examples. For us, as members of a church community, which owes its continued existence to and sustains its work by the gifts it receives, there is an important question for each of us. How much money do I give to the work of the church? As a Christian, I'd frame the question slightly more widely. How much do I give to God's work? Some of God's work, of course, is done in other ways and wider spheres than this in our local church. So as well as giving money to this, our own church, I ask myself how much money to give to other work which helps to bring God's care and peace in the world. Perhaps one of the mission agencies or development agencies like Christian Aid working across the world. How much money should I give to God's work? To this, my church here at All Saints, and to work being done by other charities or Christian organisations I support. One of the answers to that question, which some churches promote and some Christians follow, is the principle of giving 10%. This is based on the rules of tithing found in the Bible. Tithing is the practice of setting apart one-tenth of one's earnings as an offering to God. The book of Deuteronomy says that the tithe should be given not only to the priests, but also to orphans, widows, and resident foreigners in the land. So the practice of tithing ensured that the priesthood and other members of the community who might otherwise have been without support did not go hungry. Of course, back then, tithes were more likely given in kind as produce or livestock rather than as cash. There's a lot of history about tithing in the Church of England, which we can't go into here. But basically, we've moved away as a church from any answer to the question based on rules. And certainly, giving to God's work is now voluntary. Nonetheless, recent surveys of churches and Christians in America show that many people there still believe in the 10% rule as a norm to aim for. But, in fact, when you look at the New Testament, neither Jesus nor any of the apostles said that there should be a rule about giving money to the church applicable across the board to everyone, like a tithe, whether set at 10% or 5% or 1%. Jesus did not command his disciples to tithe. On the other hand, he did tell the rich young ruler in Luke's gospel to sell all that he owned, not just a tenth, and give it to the poor. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, which we read for our first reading last Sunday, the new church community shared all that they had to make sure no one was left in need. No one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. In our two Bible readings this morning, we see there appears also a kind of variation of answer to the question, how much shall I give? In the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, Paul is talking about the collection being made by the church, by the worldwide church, for the church in Jerusalem, where people may have been suffering acutely from poverty or persecution. It's clear that Paul wants gifts to be given willingly, and that the acceptable amount is based on what they have, not what they do not have. Secondly, it's also clear that he does not want the Corinthians to become hard-pressed themselves because of their giving. He wrote, "Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need." That's I think that's the New International Version, which spells it out a bit more clearly than the one we heard this morning. In other words, the amount that they should give is related to two things taken together, to their own means and also to the need that there is. The aim is that one group should not suffer need whilst the other has plenty to give. What then about the story of the poor widow in the Gospel, who Jesus appeared to be commending for giving to God's work all that she had to live on, much more than her means allowed for, whilst the gifts of the rich came from their wealth? The poor widow gave out of her poverty. Did Jesus therefore teach a very different thing about giving to God's work compared to what St. Paul seemed to recommend to the Corinthians? How do we reconcile this apparent contradiction? Are we expected to give even to the point of having nothing for our own livelihood? Surely not. So what is the message of Jesus' teaching here? Jesus said that the poor widow had given more than the rich. So this is not about the amount we should give in numerical terms, but instead it's about the value to God and God's kingdom of the gift we give. Giving to God's work isn't about the number, the amount of money. It's about the heart with which it is done, about the quality of my relationship with God and with my neighbour. After all, in a society, as Jesus observed, with so many rich able to give out of their wealth, why anyway was there a widow who was so poor she had to make that choice between eating and giving what she wanted to give to the God she loved? We know from elsewhere in the Bible how often God denounced the people of Israel through the words of the prophets when they gave their sacrifices at the altar but still allowed oppression of the poor and social injustice. "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings," in the words of the prophet Hosea. Words Jesus echoed in his reply to the Pharisees when they denounced him for eating with tax collectors and sinners in Matthew chapter 9. So I see no contradiction between Paul's advice and Jesus' teaching here about giving. Neither are specifying an amount or a percentage. The important thing is not the amount of money we give, for each of us have different situations and resources, but instead what matters is the amount of heart, if you like, we have in our giving, the love we have for God's work, and the care we have to see those in need helped as we can give what we can, whatever the amount we can. We are not called to give specific percentages or amounts. We are not called to give more than we are able. We should never have to make that choice. But we are called not to give less than we know and believe in our hearts we truly could give if we want to sustain God's work and to relieve the need of others as we can. Okay.